This morning I will be reading Joel 2:27. And ye shall I know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed.
Good morning. Glad to be back with all of you today. Appreciate your prayers. I got me some water with me. I'm still coughing just a little bit, but I'm mostly doing a lot better. So thank y'all for that, for praying, and thank the Lord for answering our prayers. This morning, as we get into our lesson, I want you to think with me a little bit about, I guess, what it's like to be a child and to struggle with fears or anxieties. As I was thinking about this lesson, I thought about myself as a child, and I don't know about y'all, but as a child, I really didn't like going to the doctor. Now, I guess as an adult, I really don't like it either, but it is less often preceded with, like, a crying fit and me, you know, yelling at the nearest adult, "Does this mean I'm gonna have to get a shot?" Like, just, it was very hard. I remember being a kid, and just every single time that I would get sick enough that mom would feel like, "We gotta take you to the doctor," I'd cry, I'd scream, I'd say, "I don't want a shot, I don't want to take medicine, I don't want to go to the doctor." And I think sometimes as a child, we struggle with that, but as we get a little older, you know, it's still very difficult to go to the doctor. But my mother took me to the doctor, and we go to the doctor all for the same reason. We know that this is a good idea, ideally, you know, when things work out, that this is going to help you. It's going to help you get better. This is a step towards taking care of yourself. This is a step towards recovering from whatever illness you are struggling with. This is the reason we do this. We do it for healing, even though it is often an unpleasant process that we do not enjoy. And when it comes to what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 15, which is where we'll be going this morning, I wouldn't necessarily call this process he's describing an unpleasant process that we don't enjoy, but I do think sometimes we struggle to take care of ourselves. Sometimes we struggle with it with our physical health, and I think sometimes as Christians we struggle to take care of ourselves with our spiritual health. We don't want to do it. In chapter 14 of John, we've been looking at Jesus giving this awesome teaching about how if anyone loves Jesus, then the Father and the Son are going to come to that person and make their home with that person. Jesus wants his disciples to understand the close, intimate relationship that's available for those who follow him. And so now Jesus is going to show them what this means. What kind of close, intimate relationship are you describing, Jesus? In John 15, he's going to use a well-known image to communicate to his followers the glorious relationship they are going to have with God. So in John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." This is the seventh and final "I am" statement in the book of John. The vine is used throughout scriptures to represent Israel. So this is really interesting. Jesus says, "I am the vine." If you're a Jewish person during this time, you're going to go, "No, we are the vine, Jesus. Have you not read Exodus or any of the Old Testament?" This is usually a passage referring to the nation of Israel itself, the people of God. In Psalm chapter 80, verse 8, Israel's called the vine that was brought out of Egypt. In Isaiah chapter 5, we see Israel called a degenerate vine. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21, it makes this same connection to Israel not just being a vine, but being a degenerate vine, being a vine that isn't healthy, that isn't growing, it's not working the way that it should. In chapters 15, 17, and 19 of the book of Ezekiel, we see Israel called a vine also. But notice what Jesus is doing. Here. He's identifying himself as Israel, as the way Israel was supposed to be. Jesus is teaching that Israel, as God designed it to be, had never managed to follow this command. They did not function as the vine. That's what they were supposed to do, but they did not. They weren't able to do this. And Jesus is showing that he is the vine. He is this healthy plant connected to God. The prophets that we just noted above, they all made this point that Israel was supposed to be this vine, this connection of God to the rest of the world. You know, the people that all nations of the earth will be blessed from. And they failed at this task. And Jesus, now as an Israelite, is going to succeed at this task. He's going to be the one Israelite that does the job, that acts as the vine. He's going to be this true vine. He's going to be the answer to that promise God made. He told Abraham, your descendants are going to bless all nations. Well, here it is. This is the one descendant of Abraham that's going to fulfill this promise. He's everything that God desired his people to be. And we've seen this in the book of Isaiah. And we, you know, when we look at that, we read about Israel's failure giving way to the promise of the one who would not fail in being a light to the nations, bringing salvation to the ends of the earth. Jesus, in his life, as Charles really talked about when he was talking about the Lord's Supper and this idea that Jesus is prophesied. Jesus is talked about all throughout Scripture, as early as Genesis when he talks about the descendant of Eve who will crush the serpent's head. That's who Jesus is saying he is here in this small statement about being the true vine. Notice also that he describes God's role in this. God is the expert farmer, the vine dresser. He's been cultivating this relationship. It's not that Jesus was born and God changed the plan and now we have the true vine. No, the Father has cultivated the relationship with Israel and is now cultivating this relationship with Jesus as the true vine of Israel all through human history. This has been the whole point of everything we've had so far, was to get us to the true vine of Israel, Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus is beginning here when he talks about this idea of relationship with God. He begins by telling you who he is. He's the vine, the center of humanity's relationship with God. But what does that mean for us? He says in verses 2 through 3, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Jesus describes what it means for us that Jesus is the true vine and the Father is the vine dresser. One of the key themes to this Gospel of John we've addressed again and again is, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus, to be attached to this true vine? Many messages have been given by Jesus to show what a disciple of Jesus looks like versus a person that's not a real disciple, that just claims to belong to God. And Jesus returns to this idea in the final night of his life. He says, look, here's what a true disciple looks like. Find the vine. Here's what a branch coming from me looks like. It's somebody that bears fruit. Every branch that does not bear fruit, God takes away. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. If you're not bearing fruit, then you're cut off. No fruit means that we don't belong to Jesus, because fruitfulness, that's the mark. That's the mark of a true disciple. Claiming to be a disciple means nothing. Believing one is a Christian means nothing. There's not a question concerning who's a Christian and who's not. There's this clear evidence of fruitfulness. We're not going to remain in a relationship with Jesus if we don't bear fruit. And that's a pretty weighty declaration. You know, I read that and that's a challenge to me. Well, what does that mean? Am I bearing fruit? I guess I need to keep a watch on myself. There's got to be something that can be seen in our lives to show that we are a Christian. You know, as I've heard many a preacher say, you know, if you were accused of being a Christian, would there be any evidence to convict you? Jesus saying, if you're a Christian, there should be something, some clear indication from the person you are and the life that you live, some fruit born by that change. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. I find it interesting that Jesus does not say, now if you're a branch on the vine, if you are bearing fruit, it's all good. It's great. No, he says, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy and wonderful. The reality is that if we are a vine and if we are a branch and we are bearing fruit, we're not going to have a pain-free life. God's got to prune that branch so that we can be even more fruitful. And you might think, what is pruning? Pruning is the removal of all the things that inhibit growth. If there's something in the way from keeping us from being fruitful, God will help us to get that out of our life. That might not be an easy and pleasant process, but that's part of what he does as the vine dresser. He's going to prune us so that we can bear more and more fruit. God doesn't coddle us or shelter us so that we'll bear fruit. And this is a painful process that leads to a continuing profitable life. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way in Hebrews chapter 10 or chapter 12, verses 10 through 11. He says, "For they disciplined us for a short time, and as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Excuse me. Verse 3 is what Jesus said when they were first in that upper room and they washed, or he washed their feet. He talks about how they are clean here in John chapter 15, verse 3. The disciples are clean because of what? Because of the words that Jesus has spoken to them. That is what has begun this process of bearing fruit in their lives. This means we don't come to the Word of God just for spiritual facts. We come to the Scriptures, bringing our hearts to that pruning blade of the Father. The Scriptures are the agent of growth and spiritual change, as we see it in Scripture. What is it that brings salvation? It's the preaching of the Word of God. It's the thing that changes us and helps us to grow. We open the Word of God. We submit our lives to those words so that we can remain in Jesus, so that we can grow and bear fruit. And the Word of God helps us to cut those things that keep us from God, rather than ignoring the Scriptures and being removed from the vine altogether. Now, Jesus goes on a little bit more here in John 15, starting in verse 4 to about verse 7. And he says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Notice the beginning of verse 4. The statement's another reason why we must see that Jesus is not talking about some mystical, special indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Rather, he's talking about this intimacy of relationship. Jesus abides, dwells, and remains in us the same way that we're supposed to abide, dwell, and remain in Jesus. The picture of remaining in Jesus is illustrated for us in this verse. You know, if you're talking about a vine and a bunch of branches, guess what? If I take a branch off of a vine, it's not going to bear a whole bunch of fruit after that. I would assume I'm not a farmer, but you know, it's got to live somehow. It's got a connection that's supposed to be giving it all its nutrients and all the things it needs for life. If I pulled it off of the vine, it's not going to do me much good. Jesus says, you've got to keep abiding in me or you're not going to keep growing and producing fruit. And the reverse of that is if you continue to abide in me, you will continue to grow. You've got to keep this connection with me. A branch can't bear fruit by itself. It's got to be connected. It's got to live in the vine. Branches derive their life from the vine, and the vine produces the fruit through those branches. Now, I like what Jesus says because it's really powerful. We can't bear fruit unless we remain or we live in Jesus. And verse 5 presses this point even farther because it says, apart from the vine, apart from Jesus, we can't do anything. We're completely without any power. And Jesus doesn't mean this in an absolute separated from Jesus that is not a Christian, can't walk around and talk and do some things that other people can. The point is there's nothing you can do if you are separated from Christ, if you're separated from the Word of God. There's nothing you can do to grow your relationship with God. It's godly fruit if you're not connected to the godly vine. As Paul's going to put it in Romans chapter 8, verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's important to recognize the proper flow of this teaching. You know, how do we get to this point? How do we get to this point that we can't reverse the order of these things? We're not saved because we bear fruit. Bearing fruit is the product of that salvation. The vine and the branch imagery kind of helps us see that. The reason the branch can bear fruit at all is because it's connected to the vine. So it's not like we've got to begin bearing fruit. We've got to do all these things before we even become a Christian, before we come to God, before we hear the Word of God. It begins at coming to Jesus. That means that if we're going to elevate our lives, if we're going to grow, we've got to start by going to Christ. If we don't see spiritual fruit, then there's a problem. And the problem, the thing that's causing us not to produce fruit, should be pretty clear. It's going to start at the source. It means we're not remaining in Christ. It means Christ's words are not living in us. And Jesus has said this already in this gospel. He says it here. He's going to say it again in a couple chapters. All throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus emphasizes, what makes you a disciple? What makes you someone that bears fruit? You abide in his words. He says in John chapter 8, verse 31, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. He says in verse 37, if you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you, talking to the Pharisees. He says here in John chapter 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. In John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus is going to say that sanctify them in truth, talking about the disciples. What is truth? Jesus says your word is truth. If someone says they're struggling spiritually, if we're having problems with our faith, I want us to see that Jesus has a really clear answer. What do I do when I'm struggling with my faith? Remain in Jesus by remaining in the Word of God. You know, I talk about being a kid. I don't want to go to the doctor. Being an adult, I don't want to go to the doctor. We go every 6 months to check on Sarah to make sure things are okay. That's a really unpleasant process. We don't enjoy that process. We don't want to do that. But we do, because it's essential to take care of ourselves. If I'm not going to do anything to take care of myself, I'm never going to get any better. And I think, as a Christian, that's kind of the big heart of it, the big struggle. That's the medicine nobody wants to take. But it's clearly prescribed here. If I want to grow, if I want to get to know God better, if I want to fix some of the problems in my spiritual relationship with Him, I got to sit down, I got to open this book, and I got to get to know Him better through it. If I ever want to produce fruit, it begins with the Word. There is no getting around it. There is no shortcut. It begins in me actually reading and studying this book. It is essential. You know, we want other answers. We want other people to change. We want our circumstances to change. That will make us feel better. We want everything else to change. But Jesus tells us, you want to fix your problem? You need to begin with your own personal habits. You need to begin with who you are and what you're doing. Are you dwelling in Jesus? Are you dwelling in His Word? I think of that parable, the four soils, you know, the sower, as we often call it. There was one ground that was fruitful of the four places that the sower threw seed. And why was it fruitful when the other three soils were not? Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. It says, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who does what? Who hears the word and understands it. And indeed, what's he do? He bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, in another, 30. What made that heart good soil? It's the person that listens to God's word. It's the person that understands it. Luke records the parable like this. He says, but the seed in the good ground, these are the ones who, having heard the word with an honest and good heart, hold on to it by enduring and bear fruit. John's going to write a letter and speak about the spiritual strength that exists in the Lord. And listen to what he says. He says, I write to you, young men, because you are strong. What makes them strong? The word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the evil one. God doesn't care about physical strength. What made these newer Christians so strong? The answer is that the Word of God remained in them. And that's how they overcame the devil, just like Jesus did in his own temptation. We've got to believe what Jesus is saying throughout this gospel. He's already said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. These words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life, Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 63. We can do nothing towards God on our own. You know, if I'm having a problem in my relationship with God, I am not going to find the answer in my flesh, in my heart. I'm not just going to, if I just think about it harder, if I'll just focus on it more, that will fix it. The only place I'm going to find help is by going to God's Word, by listening to it, and by talking to Him. That's how we remain in Him. That's how He remains in us. That's how we bear fruit. This is how the Spirit is alive within us, and we live in the Spirit. God works through His Word. Jesus is working through this Word, and the Spirit is alive and at work. And we'll work to transform our life and be with us through this Word. We quoted passage after passage saying it throughout the Word of God. Peter even says it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. He says, for you've been born again, not a perishable seed, but of imperishable, through, what's the seed that makes us be born in the first place? The enduring Word of God. Jesus says what happens to those that refuse to listen to the Word of God, those that don't go to that for growth. If anyone doesn't abide in me, he's thrown away like a like a branch that withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. I read this passage and I just look at myself and I go, all right, am I doing this? Am I bearing any fruit? Am I attached to the vine, the true vine of Israel? Am I attached to Jesus? Are His words dwelling in me? Or are they not? Do I feel like I've been withering spiritually? Jesus says, if you feel like that, it's because you're not connected to Him. You've been cut off and you're withering. You think you're attached, but look at your life. If you're not bearing any fruit, then you're not. Now, an even weightier thing comes in here in verse 15, or chapter 15, verse 8. He says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Why is fruitfulness so important? I think there are two reasons. And the first Jesus talks about here. God is glorified when we are fruitful, when we spend some time in God's Word, we're connected to that vine and we're growing. That isn't just good for us, but that glorifies our God and Savior. That's a form of worship, to read God's Word and be connected to Him. That brings Him honor and glory. And that's what we exist for, to bring honor and glory to God. That's our purpose, is to show the glory of God to the world. We're supposed to be lights of the glory of God to the world around us, all the way to the ends of the earth. And second, when we bear fruit, when we abide in God's Word, we prove that we are disciples of Jesus. That fruitfulness is the evidence of our discipleship, and it's not possible to be a disciple and not show any fruit. When we remain in Christ, we bear fruit. And the Father is going to prune us so that we can be even more fruitful. It doesn't mean it's an easy or simple process. If you've been a Christian for very long, you understand that this is a difficult process. It takes effort every single day of continuing to care about this and put in work and spend some time in God's Word. But it's worth it. And when we focus on this life of faith, we bring honor and glory to God. This morning, I don't know what your struggles are. Maybe you feel like you're just not bearing fruit. You know, maybe you feel like you're sick and you know it. You need to make a change. You need to do something different, but you just do anything in the world to avoid it. You keep doing everything except the thing you know can help you. Well, if that's the case, I want to encourage you today to get some help. Go to God's Word. Let it help you, to connect you to Him. If you need to be baptized, if you need to become a Christian, let us do that for you. If you aren't, if you are a Christian, you need prayer, you need encouragement. As you try to reconnect to God, we want to do that for you. Whatever we can do for you this morning, come forward as we stand and sing.